New Test Kislev, Friday the 26th of November, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, the issues between Yosef and his brothers.
Hello everyone again, it's a short Friday, so I've got to finish on time, I'm told, although normally I always finish on time. The point of the whole of Sefer Bereishis, the Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar. And the reason why it's called Yoshar is because we're supposed to learn how to behave from the Sefer Bereishis. Rashi says that Torah could have started from Parshas Bo, from the Chodesh Alachem, but it especially went from beginning of Bereishis, not just to tell us history, but to teach us how to behave, Simon Masav Simon Levonim, and we've got to learn how to behave. So I make that as a hakadomah to what I'm going to say. It's not for us Chas v'shalom to start judging the Ovos HaKadoshim. There's really no way that we can understand their sin, because we're not in their madrega. We just simply can't possibly fathom what went on, and it would be wrong of us to try to decide that they made this Avera or that Avera. It's just out of our league. However, the fact that Sefer Bereishis has been written means that we can try, and our lower madrega, to learn lessons. And we can certainly try to learn lessons from what the Chumash actually says, even though maybe we don't understand the full depth of what went on. Now that's the hakadomah I want to make to what's going to happen, because I want to learn a very important lesson from the story of Yosef and his brothers. It may not be the right lesson, as I just said before, but it's a lesson that I think we can all learn from. Now we start off, first of all, I want to point out that the 12 sons of Yaakov were Tzadikei Olam. We know that Yaakov was Mitosa Shalema. There was no possible, nothing possibly wrong with him. There's just a very interesting remez to this. And the first chapter, the first section of what you've got in front of you, I noticed that whenever a tzaddik has children, a group of children, it's always Yulad in the singular. And I've got four examples of that. Ava had two tzaddikim as children, had the Peleg and Yoktron, were both tzaddikim. You have Yaakov Avinu, as Asher Yulad Lo, Yosef Yulod Shnei Vonim. It's always in the singular. Really, it should have been in the plural. Grammatically, if you have more than one child, the plural of the third person plural passive would be Yuldu. But in fact, in all these cases which you see, they're mentioned here, it's always Yulad, as if to say there's been one birth, the Ob Achtus, one of the symbols of a good Torah Shtub, a good Torah house, is that people work b'achdus, there's no machlokus, and everybody works together. And yulad means there was a birth, the education is the same, I mean, obviously not the same for each child, but it's the same form of education, it's both always Torahdic, whatever the Torah dictates, that's what's going to be done. However, as soon as you come away from the tzaddikim, you'll find then it goes back to Yuldu. So the two cases where it says Yuldu in the plural, one is in the case of Esav. Obviously Esav's children were the Bali Machlokas, it was Yuldu, they didn't have the same ethos and the same perspective on life. And similarly, when it talks about the giants in Bereishis, they came down and they've messed up the whole world, it says Bonus Yuldu Lohem. So we see that there's a difference between the tzaddikim, it's always yulad in the singular, and the rishonim, it's usually yuldu. So that's one siman that the Bnei Yosef, Bnei Yaakov, I beg your pardon, were absolute tzaddikim. Now, the next little inyan of toldus, I've set down here four different spellings of toldus. The Medrash at the end of Megillas Rus tells us that the word toldus is only spelled mole de mole, that was with vav at the beginning of the word and vav in the end of the word, only twice in the whole of Tanakh. Once at Brias Olam, where it says El Tzad Shemayim Vaz Behi Barom, when the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created absolute perfection. What's the problem? No. And if in the case of Megillas Rus, Ela Toldus Peres, because that was referring, Rus was referring to that Mashiach will come eventually from Shevet Yehuda, and the Toldus of Peres were going to be perfect. Those are the only two places in Tanakh where you'll find it Moled and Moled. That's what the Medrash says. We find it spelt in three other different ways. We find in the case of Yishmael, it's got no Vavs at all. We find in the case of Yitzchak, it's got a Vav in the beginning. That's the normal spelling in Tanei Chumash, where it's got one Vav in the beginning and no Vav in the end. And that is how it occurs in the case of Yitzchak, in the case of Odom, Aaron and Moshe, in the case of Noach, case of Bnei Noach, in the case of Shem, and in the case of Terach. So normally it's spelled with one Vav at the beginning and none at the end. However, two places, that's in this week's Sedra, And the second pasuk of Vayeshev, it's spelt in an unusual manner. It's spelt without the vav at the beginning and with a vav at the end. And there's only one other place that occurs, and that is in the case, believe it or not, of Esav. So why is it that in Esav and in Yaakov, there's no vav in the beginning and there's a vav in the end, but in all the other cases, there's a vav in the middle and no vav at the end? The answer is actually easy to work out, and there's also, if you want to go into more detail, Shem Shifur Hirsch also develops the theme. It is this, that male means something is better, and chosa means something is lacking and something is missing. If the vav is in the shoyrish of the word, then that means there's something included in the shoyrish. And if it's missing, there's something missing from the shoyrish adov, the root. If, however, the vav is in the end, then it's a question of plurality. Something's wrong with the plurality. There aren't so many as all that. Whereas if it's got a vav in the end, it means there are a lot of them. That's the basic, obvious explanation of where of male v'chosa. So normally speaking, there is nothing which is completely perfect except Bria Sa'olam and Mashiach. That's why the only two cases where Torah says male de male are those two cases which we mentioned. In the case of Yishmael, there was neither anything worthwhile in the Shoyrish Adavon, in his etzem being, and there was nothing in his plurality. There weren't that many of them. However, in most cases that we've discussed, there's something good about what has happened, therefore the shoyrish is good. So for example, each one of the cases mentioned, there was a tzaddik who came out. For example, Yitzchak had a tzaddik called Yaakov, Aaron and Moshe had tzaddikim, obviously, Noach had a tzaddik called Shem, even though the others weren't necessarily so good, and so on and so on, and even Terach had a tzaddik called Avram. So therefore in the toilodah there was something good. However, in the plurality of it, there weren't necessarily all that many. There were two cases where there were many, many, many descendants, and that was in the case of Esav, who had a huge number of descendants, and Yaakov. They were both blessed by Yitzchak, and the Brocha allowed them to have enlarged them. So that explains why there's a vav in the end, in the case of Esav and Yaakov. However, what's missing in Esav, it's obvious what's missing, just like Yishmael. Therefore the shoyrish of the toads of Esav has got no vav. However, the problem arises, why is there no vav in Bnei Yaakov Kulam Tzadikim? Where's the vav gone in the beginning of Toldos? This actually created quite an upset in Ramon Shulam several years ago, where they spelled it on the wall. They said, this is Pasha's Toldos, and they put two vavs. And one of the people complained bitterly. They says, how on earth can you put an extra vav in? The Toldos hasn't got the vav there. Somebody's got it wrong, and they wanted to tear the whole poster down. The truth of the matter is nothing wrong with it, because when in Chazal, you'll find at the top of all your chumashim, it'll have two vavs, because that's in the way we speak in modern Hebrew, or in post-biblical Hebrew, you have two vavs there, because to show you how to say, you haven't got dots in a Sefer Torah or on the wall, there's no dots, so you have to put the vav there to show that it's not told us, it's told us. Okay, that's not a problem. But in the Chumash itself, you look carefully, you'll find there's no vav. And the suggestion is, because there was a machlokus between the children, whatever the reason, even as Lashem Shomayim, whatever it was, if there is machlokus as a chisoron, and they're being criticized because we don't know what the machlokus is about, but it was a machlokus, therefore the posuk is telling us the Torah is not perfect. As long as there's a machlokus, we're not going in the right places. And therefore we've got to look and see what happened here with Yosef. Yosef and the brothers, the posuk, we're just going to follow the wording of the posuk. If you, those of you who've got the sheet in front of you, will see I've made a lot of different numbers on top of the posuk. There's a lot of problems with this posuk, and I will just go through them briefly. Eila told us, Yaakov explained the problem with the spelling of the word, told us, Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shona, Hoyar Roa Es Echov. It's when he was 17 years old, he was shepherding his brothers. Well, what is the age significance that he was 17 years old? Why do we need to know he was 17 years old? Secondly, Hayaroya es echov. That is grammatically not really very correct. It should have been Hayaroya im echov. Hayaroya es echov means normally, although es can mean with, here it really means he was shepherding his brothers. He wasn't shepherding his brothers, he was shepherding the sheep. So why does the apostle say Roya es echov batzon? It should have said Roya es hatzon im echov. Would have been much more clear. The fact it says Roa es echov batzon seems to teach us he was actually trying to teach his brothers something through the means of the tzon. That's a literal translation. Then it says v'hu nar. What do we need to know that for? That he was a young boy. He's already told us he's only 17. Why tell us he was a nar? We know a boy of 17 is a nar. And then it says espenei bilhav espenei zilpah, and he was with the wives. Okay, because he was excluded from the bnei leo. He went with bnei bilhav bnei zilpah neshei aviv. Well, we know that there were Neshei Aviv. We know that already. What's it telling us? And secondly, they were not really Neshei, they were really Shivchos Aviv. Right, they developed from being just a Shivcho into one of the four wives of Yaakov who created the Shvatim. But the fact that it says Neshei Aviv seems to be superfluous. Then the apostle goes on to say, Vayovei Yosef Estibosom Ro'al Aviyem. It's the wrong word. You don't bring words. In English, you bring a person. You bring an object. It's true, because English is not all that accurate, but those of you who speak French will know there's a very big difference between the word porter and amener. One is to carry the thing, and one is to lead the person along. So in Hebrew, lehavi means to bring an object. You don't bring the person. You're molich. You might bring him along, but you're not mevi. Mevi is like in the French, or should I say the French is like the Hebrew, that you bring an object, you don't bring something which is inanimate. You can't bring that. So when this is vayogay, it's divos somro. What does he mean he's bringing it? How do you bring it? It's the wrong word. It doesn't make grammatical sense. And finally, it's a divos ro'o elavim. This is the clincher. Elavihem! Wasn't it his own father? As if he's saying it's not my father anymore. He brought the divos ro'o elavim to their father. It wasn't his father. What do you mean it wasn't his father? It should have been it should have been El-Hav or El-Yakov or El-Aviv. What is El-Avihem all about? Now, from this pasuk, we have a lot of lessons to learn without, as I say, criticizing or going into the actual maaser of the of Yosef and the brothers. But what we can see from here is this pasuk is sending out a lot of messages for us. Now, the numbers which I've placed next to the different parts of the pasuk, for those of you who have got the thing in front of you, are meant to indicate that this particular pasuk is teaching us everything that went on when Yosef spoke. When Yosef spoke, he was very nizhar about the Hilchos Lashon Hara, except one nekuda he got wrong. And that's the nekuda we're going to see in a second. The points in Lashon Hara, before you're allowed to say Lashon Hara, those of you who've learned Chofetz Chaim, or any of those who know the Hilchos Lashon Hara properly will know that there's a mitzvah to tell Lashon Hara, once seven different rules have been performed. Before that, it's a terrible Aveira, There's no middle way. It's either a terrible Aveira or a big mitzvah. And the way you decide whether it's an Aveira or a mitzvah is whether you've gone through seven preliminary rules. Let's go them very, very quickly. The first one is Ro'o Ba'atzma. You've actually got to have seen. You can't rely upon circumstantial evidence. You must know that it's happened. So if somebody tells you that something's happened, you can't go and repeat that because you didn't see it yourself and maybe the person misunderstood it. Secondly, even if you did see it, you've got to be don lekaf zechus. That means you mustn't just jump and decide, so-and-so is a balavera. You see somebody driving a car on Shabbos, he's a machal Shabbos nick. You mustn't do that. You've got to think, maybe that person is doing busy with pekuach nefesh. And not only Gata Harris, everybody might be busy with it. Because, in fact, the Velzer Rebbe, when he first came to Tel Aviv, the first Shabbos he was in Tel Aviv, he saw all the people driving around, you know what he said? Ich hab nicht gewusst, dass es da so viel Cholim in Tel Aviv. That's the famous story of the Velzer Rebbe, when he first arrived in Tel Aviv, he couldn't believe it. He was Don Lekav Schuss. You're not supposed to be drawn everybody in a calf, because it's only where there is a calf. But at that stage, he hadn't met all the people in Tel Aviv yet. Obviously, when you're drawn the calf, there's got to be a six. If you're dealing with a rosh, it's a different story altogether. But when you're dealing with a person who is an ordinary Yorish Shemaim, an ordinary member of Klal Yisrael, you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. So if you see somebody rummaging in somebody else's purse, you don't assume that he's a ganav. You think, well, maybe he got rishus to do it. Maybe he needed it for, or maybe he mixed up the bags or something. But you don't just jump to the conclusion that he's doing an avera. That's the second thing. The third thing is toichocha. You're not allowed to go and start telling other people until you yourself have been to the person and tried to have it out with him if you can. If you see somebody doing something which you believe is wrong, you don't go telling everybody else. You go to the person privately and you try to say, look, would you please put that particular thing right? Fourthly, you must what you, if you're going to say it, it must be a purposeful saying, not just stand to tell people gossip. There's going to be a reason why you're telling them, in order to protect somebody else or to put the person right. Number five, you must never exaggerate. You see somebody took something who didn't quite belong to him, you can't say, Adel mentioned the Grester Ganav and the Ganser Veld. That's an exaggeration. You can say, he's not 100% reliable when it comes to money. It's not quite the same as saying that man is a terrible Ganav. You've got to be careful in not exaggerating. Number six, try, if possible, to be misabeh. Let me get round the part of the point. If you can achieve your object without saying the Lashon Hara, then you're not allowed to say it. If the whole purpose of saying the Lashon Hara is to protect somebody else from this particular man, if you can remove the man from the situation, then you don't have to say the Lashon Hara to anybody because you achieve what you were trying to achieve. Somebody wants to stay with you, and you happen to know the man is a ganav, and he wants to stay with you, and you don't want him to stay with that particular person. So if you can arrange for that person to stay somewhere else, where they have a place where they're protected against Ganovin, or where, if you can arrange for the person not to invite that person, you invite that person somewhere else, then you've achieved your object, if that's what you're trying to achieve, without saying anything. So don't say anything about it, just achieve your object. And finally, you're not allowed to cause more damage to the person than would be the best in would punish. So, for example, if you know that a teacher slept in one morning and has, when he should have gone to bed a bit earlier and he's a bit late for his lesson, if you know that the headmaster will fire that teacher on the spot, you may not tell the headmaster that, because the headmaster will take action. If you know there's a type of person who will go beyond what the best thing would issue as a punishment, you may not mention it. Or, for example, if you found that the wife was doing something with another person she shouldn't quite be doing, and you know that the husband will be so excited about it, he'll divorce her on the spot, when it is not a question of that's far too serious a punishment for the particular crime, when he could have been talking to whatever it was, then you're not allowed to mention it. Those are the seven things. If you've done all those seven things, then it's a mitzvah to tell the Lashon Hara to the person to protect her. Now, Yosef HaTzadik took dibosom ro'o el avihem. Yosef, if you look through the things which he did, you'll see that each one of those seven, he's Mekayim, and I'll put the number on the list. Let's just give you an example. Ro'o be'atzmo. We know he saw it himself. Why? Because the Pasuk says he was roya es echov batzon. He was watching how they behaved with the tzon. So therefore he did see it himself, how they behaved with the tzon. He saw them eating Evem and Achai, according to one of the Avos he was criticizing them before. He saw them do it. Number two, if you look through your list, you won't find that in the list. Number two is missing. There's nothing in the Pasuk which helps us with Don Lekavsos at all. Number three, it says he has to give them toichocha. That's exactly what he was trying to do. Roy Esachov Batzon, he was trying to teach them how to behave. That was part of the toichocha. And there's another rule. If you're unable to give toichocha yourself, how can you give toichocha to a great Rav? You can't do it. It's impossible. I remember being in Yerushalayim, when I was there at the beginning, and one of the great acknowledged Gedolei Hador had his tefillin, which were down here on his head. I couldn't believe it, but I didn't know how to go up to him. I couldn't go up to him and say, Rebbe, your tefillin in the wrong place. I mean, who am I to go to the Gedolei Hador and his tefillin are hanging down here? I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't go up to him and give him toichocha direct. I thought about it, and I realised the man had a brother who was quite friendly with him, a lower madrega, so to speak. And I went and I spoke to the brother. I said, listen, look, you should ask your brother, is there a particular reason why they're feeling like that? Maybe he's not aware of it. Maybe you should get them tightened. Maybe you'd do it for me. And he did it, and the next day the tefillin were in the right place. I couldn't bring myself to embarrass this person by giving him to a brocha. Now that is the point here with Yosef. Yosef was 17 years old. If he gives them tochacha, little brother's telling him what to do, it wouldn't have worked. That's why the posset tells you he went al avihem. He didn't go to his old father to say tittle tattle to his own father. He wasn't going to his own father to start telling, my brothers are carrying on like this, because he wanted to gossip with his father. He went to their father. It's true, it was his father. But the point of going to their father was in order that they should get the message from their father, which is the right person to give them tochacha. The fact it was his father was irrelevant to the tochacha. You can't go and tell your wife or your father things what you're seeing in the street. It doesn't matter how close you are to them. You've got no right to go and tell them anything about somebody else, unless they happen to be the right person to give the tochacha, as I explained in the case of the Godel Hador and myself, where I felt I couldn't go up to him directly because of the busha which were being caused and whatever the problems it might have caused, so I had to find the right person to do it. Very often the right person is the Rav, or it could be for the person's father, and that's why he went El Avihem, not El Avihem. There's going to be a tayelis from the Sipur. Again, if you tell the father about it, there's definitely going to be a tayelis. The father's the right person to try to put the children right. And certainly a father like Yaakov, there's a point. You're not just stand gossiping to somebody, you're getting the father to do it properly.
Because if you have the same father...
It's fine, same father, but as long as you're doing it qua their father, not qua your own father, if you know what qua means in Latin. It's an expression that means you're doing it not because it's your father and you just want to talk to members of your family. You're doing it because that's the right person in the family to do it, to do the job. Number five, he didn't exact. Now, this is where you have a yoveh. The yoveh is, he brought. Now, normally you don't bring, ask me the cash, you don't bring things with you. But here, in order to convey the fact that Yosef was not megazim, he was not exaggerating anything, it's as if he brought this cup from here and he placed the cup there. It's the very self-same cup, it hasn't become bigger or different. And that's the point of Vayoveh. He brought with him from here to here exactly what he saw, with no exaggeration. And that's why it's Vayoveh, Dibosom, because it's telling us, yes, it didn't exaggerate in the slightest. You know, you always try to exaggerate when you want to tell somebody how to, well, what's been going on. No, yes, it did exactly as it was. Vayoveh, it's as if he'd brought an object from one place to the other. That's the fifth of the points. Also, he was not able to be Mesabev, the reason being because he was only 17 years old and there was no way he could have any influence upon anybody to do it. That's why it says he was 17 years old, because he was a Na'ar. That's why it says he was a Na'ar. Because he was Ben Shavasha, because he was a Na'ar, there was no way that he could achieve his object in a different manner. He was too young and too inferior to them. If you want to achieve something, you've got to be in a place of power, place of authority. He wasn't. He couldn't do it. And finally, we know that he was not going to cause them more damage than the best in would have caused, because he was talking to their father. That's another reason why it's their father, because their father would have known exactly the right way of dealing with the matter. So Yosef has managed to do absolutely everything, except one thing is missing from the seven. We haven't seen anything in the prophet which shows us that Yosef has done them the kafskus. Now what happened here, we haven't got time to go into it, but those of you who are interested, you see all the makaris here. We know from Rashi that there were three averas that Yosef criticized his brothers for. One, Eva min Achai. Two, that they were treated the Bnei Hashvachas bezilzul. They were disrespectful to their brothers from the Shafachas, which is, look into modern anti-racist legislation, and they're trying to copy it to some extent in the workplace, and the Goyim are very, very big on that. You're not allowed to have anti-discrimination laws, etc. We had all this thousands of years ago. We don't need them for that. And finally, we've got, they were guilty of arayas, chas for sholem arayas, but it means they were a bit familiar with ladies rather than keeping completely away from them. They were more Ashkenazic rather than Hasidic. I mean, you could say that the Bnei Yosef was a bit more of a Chassid, and they were a bit more Misnagdish. Okay, now, therefore, those are the three. Now, how you would know those three Averes, I haven't got time for it. At the bottom, I've given you Makoros from the Mizrahi, from the Batanura, from the Rimzer Avyor, from the Osnaim Laturtosh. All these Ramazim are worked out from Pesukim in one way or another. How we know? How did Rashi know that these were the three Averes? They are Makoros for them, all set out at the bottom if you want to follow them through. However, we now need to know what went on in the sichsuch between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef accused them of three averes: one, Eivah Menachah; two, Zilzal HaShvachos; and three was the Arois. Now, and yet, we know that they were tzaddikim gemurim, so what's going on here? The answer seems to be that in each of these cases there was a form of machlokus, and Yosef expected the brothers to act on the highest possible madrega, and the brothers said, no, we're ordinary menschen, we're balabatim. Yosef was like the Rav, and they were like balabatim, and they said, we can't live on that particular high madrega. Yosef therefore felt that they were doing averus, and therefore, but he wasn't don them the kaf schusim, and he expected too much of his brothers, and that's why he was not able to give them the benefit of that. Just take one example: they were in business; they were businessmen, and they had to do business with ladies. We know the Gemara about Reuchlin, they had to go around, and Erev Shabbos, you give cosmetics, to sell people. But when you're dealing with a lady, you know, you can't not talk to her; you can't avoid her completely. It's not possible to do that. You've got to speak. In fact, there's an interesting machlokes between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, and I've actually seen it, the difference between them. If you see the difference how Rabbi Chanan Halpern or Dayan Emtra pays their money across the counter when they go into a bank. I watch this b'chush. Rabbi Chanan, if there is a lady teller at handing out the money or doing things, he will turn his face in an opposite direction, not to be mevayisha, but he will not look at her at all. He will look in a different direction and he will deal with it like this. Whereas Rabbi Chanoich, he will look her straight in the eye. She's a mensch, she's got to be dealt with as a mensch. Okay. Now, Yosef was like Rabbi Chanan the Chassid, and the brothers were like Rabbi Chanoich, the Misnagdim. That he felt that it was wrong to have any contact, any eye contact, any looking at the Nushim. But they felt, no, we are in business, you can't be Mavayish people, and they have actually a similar shaila about shaking hands with ladies. That we don't shake hands with it, and there's one tshuva of the Rabbi Yonah Zilber, who's a tshuva that's Yehorid Val Yavor, to shake hands, because he says there's a possibility of getting Hirhurim from it, and the Nagi itself can cause a problem. That's his shitta. However, it's well known that the Yekisha shitta is Adarabba, the Shaila of Kavod Abrius. There's nothing wrong if you shake a hand with a lady, is it just simply to shake hands as a greeting? They allow it. I'm not telling you what to pass in the minigar is not to do it, or at least put a glove on or something, try to make a pshar of some sort. But what I'm trying to say is the same sort of problems which we have, Bizman Azeh, it's quite clear, and a different madrega, a different level, happened in those days too. Now Yosef expected so much of his brothers that he expected them to be on his level, and because they weren't on his level and he expected them to be there, he went and told his father, I want my brothers to be on a higher level. They should be like Hasidim, like we are. That's in the case of the Arayas. But the other two are also very similar, but Abram and Achai, there was a misunderstanding. Yosef felt that although they felt that we've got a little Klal Yisrael, we're members of Klal Yisrael, therefore you're allowed to eat a Ben Pekua, or a according to one shita, or a when the animal is not quite dead yet, still mafarkis, they felt we could. This was no. You've got to be machmirim before matan Torah. There is an issur on we like goyim. Goyim are not allowed to eat it until the animal is properly dead. Why are you eating it too soon? Now you're bale taiva. You're eating far too quickly. They said, no, we've got the din of Yisrael. So, all right, there's a machlokus. But the point was, Yosef was expecting them to be machmir like the more stringent shitta. The message for us is this: when you see somebody else behaving, don't expect of that person he's got to have your level of chassidus, even if your level is of a high level of chassidus, which is also a moot point. But even if you feel that you have a very high madrega, you come from a shtubus of chassidic, and you don't do these type of things, don't look at the Ashkenazi and look down upon him, as a grubber, balaverinik. Don't be so quick to judge the other person, because it could well be that the other person, the femadrigos, is behaving exactly as he should. That's the way they were brought up. You know, we can't all be like everybody else, and you've got to be malamed zechus wherever you can. That's perhaps the message that we should take, because we're very, very quick to judge other people in their behaviour. And the message that Yosef got it wrong, I mean, we can't say that, but what I'm trying to say is that Yosef possibly the pasuk is trying to tell us that what happened here was Yosef expected too much of somebody else, and because he expected too much of it to be as he was, he fell down into the chas v'shalom, the aver of lashon hara, and created all this machlokas, and that created. It's his Mitzrayim. It created the Golas Mitzrayim because of the fact that Yosef had not made sufficient allowance for somebody else's madrega. But Shabbos.